Our sermon today is going to be a little bit different. Title of the sermon is Commencement Exercises, Class of 2019. That's who you are. That's who every single one of you are. Members of the class of 2019. Don't let your mind wander, Josh. This is about everybody here. Everybody is a member of the class of 2019. Our scripture reading comes from Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Father God in heaven, thank you for this time and this celebration of your work. Your work of regeneration, your work of transformation, your work of renewal. Thank you for this time of covenant renewal. Thank you for the way that you transform us. Thank you for the way that you make us new. And thank you for the way that you are making this whole world new. We ask that we would be strengthened by you, that we would embrace the charge that you bring to us. And that we would step out, even exercising what you have commanded us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's that time of year again. Graduations every weekend, graduation ceremony, services, all sorts of commencement exercises. There's pomp, there's circumstance. The ceremonies go on and on. The speeches go on and on. Hours and hours and hours and hours. How many people have been to a graduation where they felt like, why is this going on? How long is this going on? Are they done yet? I remember when I used to preach at the manor, you know, the old ladies in the back, you know, they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, but they would always remember, is he done yet? No, I got him on my first line out. But that's what many graduations are like. Well, we're going to get to do it all here. We're going to get to do it in about half an hour. So that's pretty good. What is an exercise? An exercise is really, by definition, Greek word, exit, right? Go out. It is to send out. It is to put out. Put something out into active operation. That's what an exercise is. To put out into active operation. Put them to use. To commence marks a new beginning. Commencements are often marked by a certain amount of coupling with goodbye to the past. But a commencement really is all about a focus towards the future, stepping forward, a new beginning. Commencement exercises is starting right now. We're being sent out for an active operation. For 2019 years, the church has been putting out her sons and daughters. The church has been putting out her sons and daughters into active operation around the world. Active operation as the bride of Jesus Christ. And that means that we are all members of the class of 2019. This is a covenant renewal service. God is renewing his covenant with us. He's renewing us. He's renewing the earth. He's renewing his covenant with us. We'll step out new today. We cannot possibly be the same. We will hear from our King. He will feed us. We'll find our rest in him. We'll be commissioned by him. We will again feel the presence of him crowning us as kings to rule and to reign here on this new earth. Covenant renewal. A new earth is in the making. A new world is in the making. A new earth and a new world is already in the making. Already in the making. As we begin this sermon here, I want you to forgive me as I take some license in the structure of this sermon. It's going to be structured a little bit oddly, differently. I'm going to use a commencement exercise theme for structuring our sermon. But I will in no way take any license in the content of what I'm going to say. Because we are a part of the new creation. We are a part of this world that is being recreated by Jesus Christ. We are a part of the class of 2019. We are being put out into active operation. And it starts today. Our lectionary corresponds to the three major components of a graduation service. The three major components of a commencement exercise. What happens when you go to a graduation? You go to graduation and, well, one of the things that typically happens is that they bring in some big name guest speaker. He's going to talk to you and bore you or whatever, irritate you for a period of time. They bring in a big name guest speaker. He or she will give an address. Hopefully, that person, whether he or she, will not only give an address, but make a charge to those in the audience. A charge particularly to those who are in the class as the graduate. Normally, that big name speaker is someone from the sports world or politics or some entertainment figure. But it's our gospel lesson today that's going to give us our guest speaker. And our gospel lesson does so magnificently. What else happens when you go to a graduation? Ooh, this can be difficult. This can be tedious, depending on the size of the class. The issuing of the diplomas. Name after name after name. The issuing of the diplomas. In the reading from Acts, St. Peter fastened his eyes upon a great sheet descending from heaven. A great sheet descending from heaven. And the scripture says that it came to me. Even to me. The scripture says. St. Peter fastened his eyes upon it. It came to him from heaven. He was issued a diploma. We'll see that a little bit in greater specificity in a short period of time. And then number three, this one might be a little bit dated. I don't know. I tend to think that this one is still in vogue when you go to a graduation. Oftentimes at these graduations, they have this time where there's this kind of like memory lane video. They'll put up pictures or some sort of audio-visual multimedia montage of where they've been and where they hope to be, where they hope to go. Their exploits in whatever grades they have been in and now their expectation of where they choose to go. Sometimes we see baby pictures, and then sometimes we see them posing in the place where they hope to be as they step out of those doors. Revelation 21 and 1 is really dropping us right into the center of what is a pretty artsy, pretty significant multimedia event, dramatic event. High emotion, dynamic drama taking place. As we look at Revelation 21 and verse 1, we see some pretty strange and significant things taking place here. The Greek word for the first earth and the first heaven, the Greek word is protos. The first earth and the first heaven were prototypes of what is becoming, prototypes of what now is. When you think of that montage and that graduation service, you may see a baby picture, you may see the student at a very young age, and so you're seeing a prototype of really what they're becoming. Revelation speaks of that first earth, that prototype of what earth was, that prototype of what heaven was, and the newness of what earth now is, and the newness of the heaven that is and is on the way. It's all being renewed. This relates to graduates, therefore it relates to us. This idea that there's a prototype, I mean, before I was a Christian, I was something else, and so were you. And before the coming of Christ, this earth was something, and now it's becoming something new. This refers to the graduates, this refers to creation itself. We might want to think of this prototype becoming new as sort of like this cocoon that's now opening because this caterpillar has now become a butterfly. That's what happens in these audiovisual multimedia montages that you might see at a graduation. And that's what's happening in Revelation 21. Let's go back and start with the big name guest speaker. The big name guest speaker, John chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. Therefore, when he was going out, Jesus said, hallelujah, doesn't get a bigger name than that. Jesus is our guest speaker. And by the way, the rest of our gospel lesson is all in red letters. It's his speech. This opening clause here, therefore, when he was going out, Jesus said, that's in black letters. Starting with the word now is all red letters. And the rest of the gospel lesson is red letters. It's all Jesus. It's his speech. It's his commencement address. And you know, the first thing he says is now. The first words out of his mouth is now. So here you have Jesus again. What a great commencement address, right? What does commencement mean? It means a new beginning. It means that Jesus is not focusing on what's in the past. Jesus is not focusing on that at all. He is focusing on the right now, the present, and he is focusing on from this point forward. He's focusing on the present and the future. Talk about a commencement exercise. And a new beginning. And on top of all of that, and adding to greater credibility, if you could possibly give greater credibility to Jesus as this great guest speaker, he speaks of his glorification 5 times. And what's even more significant than the fact that he's talking about from now on is new future focus, this present focus, and not focusing on the past. Even more significant than the fact that he's focusing on glorification is think about what's going on with him right at this moment. Because he speaks about his glorification these 5 times at an extremely dark hour in his life. Let's look at this clause again. Therefore, when he was gone out, well, if you don't have the context, you might think that that's about Jesus. Who went out? The answer to that is found in the previous verses, and it's not about Jesus. It's therefore when Judas had gone out. Therefore, when Judas had gone out, Jesus is going to give this commencement speech. But it's Judas who had gone out. And let's quickly look at that identification. Verse 21. When Jesus had said thus, he was troubled in his spirit, and he testified, and he says, truly, truly, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, that would have been John there, and Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask who it was of whom he spoke, he then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? This is John speaking to Jesus. Who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a sop, and when I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. What you do, do quickly. Now no man at that table knew for what intent he spoke this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus was kind of sending them out to go get another loaf of bread or something like that. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. That's verse 30. He immediately going out is Judas. On his way out to do his diabolical deed, and we all know what that was, betraying Jesus. I guess one of the things I want to stop with here as we're thinking about this person giving this address to us here, Jesus, is can you view some of your darkest times as among your greatest hours? Jesus is giving this speech just having had that conversation and knowing exactly what Judas was about to do, says, now is the Son of Man glorified. This is my finest hour. Can you imagine Jesus giving this speech at a time when he is in this excruciating pain? And yet he does. Jesus knew exactly where this was going. Verse 33 tells us that. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, I'm now going to say to you, you can't go with me, I'm leaving. I'm going to die. He knew exactly where this was going. And yet he still moves on and gives this bright, beautiful speech about glorification and about what God is doing for him, even as he, on some levels, internally, must be being ripped apart. But as a good convention speaker, he also doesn't just tell them about what's going on with him and what's going on in the world. He gives them a charge. He gives them a charge. He gives them a challenge. And we find this in verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is a great commencement of challenge. What is Jesus saying here? He is saying that he's leaving. He's commanding them to love. And this means that whatever else you do in life, wherever else you go in life, love the brethren. What a great challenge that is. You know, I can imagine students who are graduating from high school or college and they got their specificity of their degree and they're going to do this and this is the way that they're going to, change the world. And Jesus, wherever you go, whatever you do, love the brethren. And then on top of that, he says, not only love the brethren, because we all say that, right? Oh, I love them, I love everybody, right? Love the brethren as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his brethren. Everybody who's in this class of 2019, are you willing to receive this address from Jesus and this challenge from Jesus to love everybody who is a disciple all your heart, and in the way that Jesus loved his disciples? Love the brethren as he loved us. Whatever else you do, wherever else you go. And you know, here in verse 35, we see a little bit of a picture in this charge that this mission is going to really expand. Because he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one to another. Even here, even in this charge, even in this challenge, even with that application, we get a glimpse of the gospel going out into the whole world. Following that address, there's the issuing of the diplomas. And do you know what's on that great sheet that comes down? Do you know what's on that great sheet, on that diploma? You know, a diploma is called a sheepskin in the old days. It literally was made out of sheep's skin. And I think that's pretty significant here because you know what? Whatever is depicted on that diploma there, and wherever else I go and whatever else I do, I need to count these folks as sheep. This sheepskin, this great sheep, it descends to St. Peter. Let's look at Acts chapter 11. What's on this sheep? He's going to be called upon to view them all as sheep. Upon which, when I had fastened myself, he sees this diploma coming to him, this sheet. I considered and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Of course, we could get into the thick of this, and this is really about Jews and Gentiles. It really is. It's about those who are clean and those who are unclean. If you were in Sunday school or doing N.T. Wright, you know all about that whole warfare between the Jews and the Gentiles. But this is what Peter's dealing with here. He gets this diploma, and it's got Jews and Gentiles on it. That's what's depicted. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But he said, not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean has any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, that don't you dare call common or unclean. Let me just do a sidebar. You know, I was thinking about this as the passage was read, even additionally for us here today. Don't call common or unclean that which God has cleansed. If you know someone who's baptized, you should treat them as cleansed by God and refer to them as a brother. And be respecting of those who are baptized. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Don't you call common or unclean that which God has cleansed. But that's just an aside here. Here, representatively, are all the peoples of the earth. In Christ, all of them have been cleansed. Jew and Gentile. And by extension, certainly for our purposes, this means those who are red and yellow and black and white and brown and male and female or bond or free, as it says in another place in the scripture. My goodness, even those who were Roman Gentiles, Roman soldiers, centurions, people who from a worldly perspective would be our worst enemies. In St. Peter's day, we are to forward to verse 10, this diploma comes down three times and it ascends back to heaven. The sheepskin ascends. But we have the Bible. We have it in black and white. We have the diploma. We have the diploma that says, really, the same thing that sheepskin, that diploma said. We have that diploma that says that we are to love the brethren as Jesus loved them. We have a diploma that says, you know what, it doesn't matter if they're black or white or brown or yellow or green or purple or man or female or bond or slave or Romans or government workers or whatever. If they name the name of Christ, we are to love them. We have that. We have that in our New Testament. We have it in black and white. I know some of you out there, I have it digitally. Good for you. You have it, is the point. We have it right here in our New Testament. And so in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. And so is everyone else who is in Him. What a challenge it is, therefore, to live up to the standard upheld in the conferring of this degree. If you have a Bible, God has given this to you. You have this degree to look on. And a part of that degree that you are looking on is this charge to love one another as I have loved you, and to love them, Jew, Gentile, black, white, yellow. What a challenge to live up to that standard, upholding that which was conferred upon you in the diploma that you now have, this degree. And so look at your diploma. And you know what? If you look at your Bible, you look at that diploma, you will find this to be true. And you will be challenged in this very same way. And what that means is that gone from your life should be all of those old prejudices, old bigotries, all those factions, all the strife that comes with those. You are to love your new brothers and sisters as Christ loves you. And then finally, it's time for the montage, right? That audio-visual montage. The one that we find in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. You know, it kind of reads like that old poem, you know, something old, something new. And that's what happened at those kind of ceremonies, those commencements, where we come, where we've come from is kind of shown in these ceremonies, and where we hope to go, where we are going, is shown in these ceremonies. I want you to look at verse 4 for a minute of Revelation 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Why is this verse here? This verse is here because the readers of this verse, that's where they have been. In pain and in sorrow, and have lives that are filled with tear and experiencing death. That verse is there because that's where they have been. That's what they have been going through. And that's what they were going through even as this prophecy was revealed to them. They were just like Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified?" He was going through his darkest hour and proclaiming it to be his finest. They were being just like Jesus. And you know what? That's where we are. I don't know about you, but I'm getting older and tireder and sicker. I continue to have tears. I continue to experience death in myself and in my loved ones, sorrow. Pain. This is there because this is what they were going through. It's what we are going through. It's what Jesus himself had gone through. But it's here as a part of this montage, a part of this commencement exercise to say, we are here to say goodbye to this. We are here to at least to begin to say goodbye to this. We remember what it was like to be a caterpillar, but God has declared us to be a butterfly. And He is remaking us. And today is the day that we break out of this cocoon. Today is the day that we say goodbye to the prototype, the first earth and the first heaven. And we embrace what we read in verse 5. We embrace the one who makes all things new. And we rejoice because we are embarking on a wonderful new journey. And so, class of 2019, as it's time for us to close these commencement exercises, it's time for us to step out. You are new, and you are to step out into a new world that, believe it or not, is still my Father's world. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the work that you're doing within us. Father, we know within our own congregation there are those who are ready to be with you. There are those who are just building in their anticipation of their eternal life with you. Father, may that be true of all of us. Whether we're young, whether we're old, Father, thank you for these great promises. Father, thank you for the markers that you lead us during the course of our lives. Father, we thank you for this great guest speaker that you have sent to us today in the person of Jesus Christ, who reminded us that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, the charge is to love. To love your people as you have loved us. Father, help us to do that. Help us to glorify you. Help us to know that we are being glorified even if we are presently in the darkest hour of our lives. Thank you for the sure work of your transformation. Father, we celebrate all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.